Hi, I'm Leah LaChapelle, author of Unzipping Reality, 11 Steps to Create the World We Want, and host of Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I am dedicated to the transforming of human consciousness on planet Earth in our lifetime. So trust, know, be, and do the process as we unzip reality.
Good days, everyone. Welcome to Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I'm Leah LaChapelle, your host, and we are excited about all coming together on this planet. And I greet you by saying, us love us. Us love us, everyone. These are very, very exciting times. And this is why I have this website entitled fearorlove.com. It is a time of choice, a time of great choice. And so this is my offering, fearorlove.com, awakening coaching that I call Waking Up to Me, personal evolutionary coaching, and of course, Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. And so this is a great conversation. Let's not have any of those teensy-tiny conversations anymore. Those are boring. We need to go big. In fact, I was at a potluck last night, found myself surrounded by an intimate group there at the very end, and it was so interesting. And these were more than bright people. These were off the chart, intelligent, sensitive, young people. And they opened up and they expressed a desire for more. And so that just blessed me. And I was thinking, well, should I go for it? Should I really pull out all the stops? Or should I hold back? And my guidance was, no, do not hold back. Go for it. So I did. I let it out full throttle and, incrementally. And because this is a huge conversation, I only have a little fingernail of it. And that's what's so much fun, is to be in the exploration, be in the active discovery of who and what we really are. And that turns me on. If it turns you on, then hang with me, because we're going to be talking about dark workers and light workers today. So let's get started. Reality is now sufficiently unzipped. We've been doing that work, haven't we? That's why you're listening now. The portal is open. Who opened the portal? Well, we did. Not just one of us, all of us did, together. We're pretty proud of that. But let's not stop. Let's step on through and be who and what we really are. So, all kinds of people on this planet, aren't there? We like to talk in terms of this or that. We kind of have a hard time with the gradient of whatever that middle ground is, because we're so committed to being right about whatever it is that we're speaking on. So it's not always that hard fast. And this is how we become surfers. It's not like we're either falling off the surfboard or completely in the water or anywhere in between. We're on the surfboard, to be sure. And there are lots of things that are helping us to stay on that surfboard. Actually, fear could be one of them. Let's stay on the surfboard and not go into the drink. And gravity helps us remain on the surfboard. We are in bodies still. And this is an important factor to not deny that we're still in bodies. We have physicality here in this density, and that really makes it fun. So don't get all hung up about we're bad because our bodies are screaming at us or this or that. Let's just accept that we have these bodies. Now, the light working people have bodies, and so do the dark working people have bodies. And what do I mean by a dark worker? Well, to help us out in this conversation, I am so blessed that I had the honor of knowing a man who was my mentor and spiritual father, actually, All Is One Heartsong. And if you hang out with me at all, you'll hear me reference All Is One. He was a prolific writer. He was a PhD in psychology, and he is now deceased. But back in 2005, in March of 2005, he wrote a couple of articles, and they were entitled, What is a Dark Worker? What is a Light Worker? So our idea of a dark worker immediately, you know, we go to the dark cloak and the dagger in the hand and, you know, the murderous, occultic, satanic kind of darkness. Well, that does exist. And there are lots of other forms of darkness. Some are more dangerous than others. And it is my assertion that the darkness is here in this reality to help us discover our own lightness. There's only light. There is only absence of light that creates the dark. But let's dive into what All Is One can open up for us here. And I'll just try to pull from his writing. He's talking about the definition of a dark worker as an uncivilized person. So what do we mean by uncivilized? We mean by civilized, we would be talking about a highly developed society and culture where you have morality and intellect and advancement in a humane and ethical and reasonable and honorable way. This is what it would mean to be civilized. Well, a dark worker then is the opposite of that. And we are seeing this emerge on our planet. And it is very much masquerading as that which we ought to think of as beneficial for ourselves, but it comes with a price, and that has to do with the dark worker practice of deception and coercion and the subjugation of others. Now, if you are wanting to consider yourself a light worker, which I would highly recommend because it's a lot of fun to be a light worker and still have a great frame of reference and have a lot of fun, not at the expense of others. It's a terrific way to live. And if you are a light worker, then you would have renounced deception and coercion, and you would be practicing the love of truth for the very purpose of educating others. Now, the dark workers have various levels of involvement, and I truly believe that all of you listening today have a tremendous capacity for embracing the whole, the one of this planet that our species is honored to live upon, and some say within. there are various levels of involvement in the work of the darkness. Some are that deep, deep, deep ritualistic, don't need to go into the long list of horrific acts that they do by way of ritual. This does go on. And there are others that are simply found in the multitude of the uninformed, and they are easily harnessed for the agenda of the dark. They don't know that they're working darkness. They have no clue. So we need to be compassionate for these people. The ultimate aim of all dark workers is to create hell on earth. And we see a lot of that if you care to. And be careful that you don't look at it, to stare at it too long, because it will be very demoralizing if you do. I would recommend that you concentrate and focus on creating heaven on earth. And that is not to be in denial that the hellish things exist. It's simply that you're not going to be able to help anyone if you remain in that focus of your awareness being completely dedicated to dredging up the darkness. It's not beneficial. You'll get sick, I promise you. And you won't have any fun at all. And you'll lose all your friends and nobody will like you. So, all right. So when we have these judgmental emotions of others, that's when we find ourselves inadvertently cooperating with this collective consciousness of humanity that is being very contracted and imprisoned by the agenda. And again, leave those negative judgmental emotions by the wayside and transmute the negativity so that together we facilitate the expansion and the liberation of the composite consciousness of humanity. I like calling it the composite consciousness. It doesn't sound nearly as heavy as the mass consciousness. The basic characteristic of all unenlightened people is separation consciousness. What do you do when you find yourself at a cocktail party or a potluck or a meetup or in your own living room with your family, whoever, and this separation consciousness pops up? What is available for us? Well, there's lots available for us. First of all, not to judge it. Not to just say, oh, you're just a dark worker. True enough, it could be that the separation that you're observing is serving into the flow of a frequency that operates in the darkness, as the darkness. But it does no good to just slap a label on it. What is important is, how do you show up in the midst of that? What is occurring in your heart chakra? Are you opening it? Or are you afraid to open it, that maybe some of that darkness will leap in there or something ridiculous? We need to be in our absolute knowing that we are all connected with one another, light, dark, everything in between, because that is the reality. We are all a part of the one whole. So when you encounter unenlightened people, they just haven't come into that knowing yet. So, you know, don't let them bring harm to you. However, you can stand in your power and you can display great light and not shine it in their face. That would be rude. But I'm talking about a light that gives a light to all in the house. Not a spotlight. Nobody likes that shining in their face. But just a gentle cascade of light that gives life so that they can see. Because that's part of the problem. They have not encountered a being of light that was available enough to offer themselves in that kind of expansive interface. Very important how you show up in the midst of what you might consider darkness. Now, the darkness has a lot of negativity. We're talking about fear and anger and grievance and guilt. Yeah, how would you like to live like that? I mean, have some compassion for these people. What is available for light workers, this is what emanates from our core, and this is our hope, is that we are characterized by positive feelings of love, of course, that's right there at the top of the list, and joy. Really big. Enthusiasm and gratitude. Always be grateful. You encounter someone that's dark and heavy, be grateful. Be grateful that you had that opportunity and that you got to make the observations that you did to help you become more whole and them in the process. Enlightened beings are in alignment with their inner being. Now, I know we know that, but look how easy it is to forget that. And we just sure as shootin' align to what is external from us. It's so easy. Because we tend to trust our eyes, our outer eyes and our outer ears, etc. And so the dark workers, just like all unenlightened people, are not in alignment with their inner beings. Can you imagine that? Where does their peace come from? Well, they don't really have a lot of what we, many of us, take for granted as peace. Because they don't know the truth, they do not love the truth, and they do not speak the truth. That's really an uphill way to live. Because when you're in alignment, there's ease and grace. Now, it might be a pretty difficult assignment that you have, you know, challenging. It might seem uphill. But when you know that you have the truth and that you can love the truth and you can speak the truth, it's a blessing. It's a lot harder to keep all of those balls of deception up in the air. Imagine trying to go to sleep with that every night. I mean, there are lots of movies and TV programs that are about the darkness and you know, how conniving they are and how they have to keep all of that together. And if they slip one little bit, then they're going to be eaten alive by the people on their own team. Imagine that. That's some tough duty. And we want to make sure and double and triple check this, that we don't do that to the people on our team. The people of the light are on our team. Deal with it. I don't care if you don't like them. I don't care if you don't like their clothes or tattoo or their language or whatever. Whether they own a car, don't own a car, it doesn't matter. If they are of the light, they are on your team. Embrace them, utilize them to their fullest. Find where you can be cooperative for the highest and best good of all. Don't let them take advantage of you, because they might accidentally do that. But just walk with them cooperatively in compatibility. This is something that the dark workers do not have available for them. They cannot do this because they've always got to be watching their back, because there's going to be a knife sticking in it if they don't keep on the alert. Remember, they're here to create hell on earth. That's kind of hell. And we have nothing to fear as light workers. So this is tremendous news, and I hope that when you tune in to Unzipping Reality here on metaphysicaltalkradio.com, that you always have some sort of positive takeaway. If that's ever not the case, then you need to just call me into account, because that is my commitment, to expand our ability to spread the light and be the light and celebrate the light in new ways. I mean, it's got to be endless, right? And so we're just having fun with all of this. So lighten up a little bit. And I'm not trying to say that you should feel so sorry for the dark that you climb in bed with them. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, really see with the eyes of true light that shines the light even into the dark crevices. It can't hide from the light. We are the light. And if I only had a few seconds to say a caution or an encouragement to someone, it would be that. You are the light. You are that love. Well, speaking of fun, I think that we need to do something fun here to unzip some reality. And I would like to share a story with us. I was recently with a group of people, and I shared this story, and they encouraged me to share this on the show. And I hadn't even thought of doing this, but because of their suggestion, I think I will do that. And so it is a story, and this will require some listening. So it's not just 5 minutes long. I'm trying to prepare us. I think that it's a very valid story. It is the story of Chicken Little. And the story of Chicken Little came out in the year 1866 in Boston by the Deegan Estes Company. Did you ever hear of Chicken Little? How she disturbed a whole neighborhood by her foolish alarm? Well, Chicken Little was running about in a gentleman's garden, where she had no business to be. She ran under a rose bush and a leaf fell on her tail. So she was dreadfully frightened and ran away to Henny Penny. "Oh, Henny Penny," said she, "the sky is falling." "Why, Chicken Little, how do you know it?" "Oh, I heard it with my ears, I saw it with my eyes, and part of it fell on my tail." "Come then," says Henny Penny, "let us run as fast as we can." So they ran till they came to Ducky Lucky. "Oh, Ducky Lucky," says Henny Penny, "the sky is falling." Why, how do you know it? Says Ducky Lucky. Chicken Little told me. Chicken Little, how do you know it? I heard it with my ears, I saw it with my eyes, and part of it fell on my tail. Oh, let us run, says Ducky Lucky. And they went on till they came to Goosey Lucy. Oh, Goosey Lucy, says Ducky Lucky, the sky is falling. Why, Ducky Lucky, says Goosey Lucky, Lucy, how do you know it? Says Ducky Lucky, Henny Penny told me. Henny Penny, how do you know it? Chicken Little told me. Chicken Little, how do you know it? Oh, I heard it with my ears, I saw it with my eyes, and part of it fell on my tail. Let us run, run as fast as we can, says Goosey Lucy. And away they went till they came to Turkey Lurkey. Oh, Turkey Lurkey, says Goosey Lucy, the sky is falling. Why, says Turkey Lurkey, Goosey Lucy, how do you know it? Says Goosey Lucy. Ducky Lucky told me. Ducky Lucky, how do you know it? Says Ducky Lucky. Henny Penny told me. Henny Penny, how do you know it? Says Henny Penny. Chicken Little told me. Chicken Little, how do you know it? How can I help knowing it? Says Chicken Little. I heard it with my ears, I saw it with my eyes, and part of it fell on my tail. Oh, come, let us run, says Turkey Lurkey. And away they all went, till they met with Foxy Loxy. Oh, Foxy Loxy, says Turkey Lurkey, the sky is falling. Who told you? Says Foxy Loxy. Says Turkey Lurkey, Goosey Lucy told me. Goosey Lucy, who told you? Ducky Lucky told me. Ducky Lucky, who told you? Henny Penny told me. Henny Penny, who told you? Chicken Little told me. Chicken Little, how do you know it? Oh, I heard it with my ears, I saw it with my eyes, and part of it fell on my tail. Make haste, says Foxy Loxy, and all come into my den. Now, folks, here's the warning. This does get a little violent, all right? So if you can't take the violence, this has been your warning. Violence alert. Foxy Loxy opened the door, and in went Turkey Lurkey. As she went in, Foxy Loxy bit off her head, threw it one way and the body another. Then went in Goosey Lucy. Foxy Loxy cut off her head and threw her in. Then came Ducky Lucky. Foxy Loxy did the same by her. Then came Henny Penny. Foxy Loxy bit off her head and threw it one way and the body the other. Then came Chicken Little. Foxy Loxy caught hold of her and ate her all up, and then finished his supper with the rest, and all this from the foolish fright of Chicken Little. All right, so I don't know if all of you were familiar with The Sky is Falling, The Sky is Falling, this little story. But suffice it to say, Foxy Loxy was a dark worker, all right? The other little barnyard creatures were not necessarily dark workers, but they did fall prey, and they were clueless, and so they made it quite easy for the agenda to be accomplished. And so that's what I'm talking about the uninformed public. They are dark workers unwittingly, and they're innocent, and yet they're serving in to that darkness. Well, moving into more fun now, I just happen to have the rewrite of Chicken Little. Got to get some of my tea here. Yeah, so that's kind of a downer that all those little creatures got gobbled up. So let's see what else we can do with our dark worker, light worker genre. and brighten the context. We can always brighten the context, always. There's always a choice. Here's the Chicken Little rewrite. Chicken Little and her neighborhood friends were always looking at the sky, which was falling. One day, Chicken Little, being the adventurous and curious little chicken that she was, overheard the gentleman in his rose garden talking with Foxy Loxy. The gentleman said, "It is so easy to bring fear to the neighborhood and for us to have all that we want. Watch this." And then the gentleman showed Foxy Loxy how to sprinkle rose petals onto the unsuspecting, creating great fear. In that moment, Chicken Little solved the riddle. She saw and heard the illusion. She saw and felt her true self. Chicken Little now knew that she was really Chicken Big, and the sky was not falling at all. They were all growing big, and the gentleman was trying to stop their growth. "I will go and tell people that they're not little as had been supposed, and that really we're all big." So Chicken Big ran as fast as she could to find Henny Penny. "Henny Penny, the sky is not falling, we're ascending. So Henny Penny, stop always thinking of how it was then, or how it used to be when it was way back when, and use your now zen, Hen Pen." Henny Penny said, "I will. But how do you know this, and how come you're so big?" "Because I learned the truth of who and what we are. The falling rose petals are helping us grow big." "I see now. Let us run and find the others." They ran till they found Goosey Lucy. Said Henny Penny, "Goosey Lucy, the sky is not falling. We're ascending." "So Goosey Lucy, set yourself loose from the self-abuse. Get out of that victim calamaboose, Goose Loose." And Goosey Lucy said, "I will. But how do you know this, and how come you're so big?" "Because we learned the truth of who and what we really are. The falling rose petals are helping us grow big." "I see now. Let us run and find the others." And so Chicken Big, Henny Penny, and Goosey Lucy ran on with more joy than ever until they came upon Ducky Lucky. It was at a Starbucks. "Ducky Lucky, the sky is not falling. We're ascending. So Ducky Lucky, quit waiting for rescue or plain old dumb luck. It's time to get your own self unstuck, Duck Luck." "But can I still go to Starbucks?" "Of course," they all chimed. "Okay, then I will. But how do you know this, and how come you're all so big?" "Because we learned the truth of who and what we really are. The falling rose petals are helping us grow big." "I see now. Let us run and find the others." And Chicken Big, Henny Penny, Goosey Lucy, and Ducky Lucky skipped along, growing bigger all the while, until they ran into Turkey Lurkey. "Turkey Lurkey, the sky is not falling. We're ascending. So Turkey Lurkey, please don't think of me as an ego-tripped-out jerk, but you've got to get out there and do a little work, Turk Lurk." "Okay, then I will. But how do you know this, and how come you're so big?" "Because we learned the truth of who and what we really are. The falling rose petals are helping us grow big." "I see now, but what about Foxy Loxy? Here he comes now." So Chicken Big, Hen Now Zen, Goose Free From Self-Abuse, Duck, self unstuck, and Turk, doing the work, greeted Foxy Loxy and said, "Fox Lox, it's time to think outside of this Fox News box. We're all big now, here together. So please, saw off your box locks." Fox Lox. Said Foxy Loxy, "But how do you know this? And how did you get so big?" "Because we learned the truth of who and what we are, the falling rose petals you and the gentleman gave us are helping us grow big." Then Foxy Loxy tried to eat them, but too many of them had grown big. Their energy was now bigger than Foxy Loxy. From afar, the gentleman saw that too many of them had grown big and had no more fear, and that the box of separation was opened, and they had gotten enough of them to come together. And he had run out of rose petals. And so he moved on and left Fox Lox to the school of hard knocks. Then Foxy Loxy was very scared, but they said, "You locked us in a box. You robbed us of all our stocks. You made us work like we were your own private ox. You stole all our basic building blocks. You forced us to live by your calendars and clocks. Then you tried to eat us like we were just ham hocks, Fox Lox. But we open our hearts, and now we are all one. Come ascend with us and be big like us too." And he said, "I will." And just then, from far, far above, even above the gentleman and his garden, it was celebrated that a miracle had occurred. There was a newly born fifth dimension in the galaxy, and there was one more rose of consciousness in the universe that had fully opened. The end. Well, thank you for your listening. I hope that you could hang in there through all of that. You know, there is only one conspiracy in the universe, only one, and it's the grand conspiracy of love. That's it, folks. It's all God. It is all God. And we're here today kind of showcasing what it must be like to be a dark worker. You know, the dark workers will be given an opportunity to transform themselves from the inside out. If you are among the people who are, you know, these kind of pissed off patriot types, and you want all the dark workers to be punished and burn in hell, then That is not the kind of vibrational frequency that will bring peace and heaven on the earth. So dark workers are unenlightened. They're very, very smart, like Foxy Loxy. He was very smart in that original story, wasn't he? However, enlightenment will always win out, because the enlightened, aligned path is of the divine, which is higher than Foxy Loxy and higher than any off-planet agenda. It's higher than anything that has been made. It is in a realm that is the unknowable, and it does exist in the realm of non-existence. We exist and the ultimate of the Creator's enlightenment is in a realm that probably is not to be touched. Okay, so I'm getting a little too deep there. All right, so these dark worker types are unenlightened. They can't touch that realm, all right? We can. We can hang out there when we choose. But the dark workers are disempowered creatures, and they know it. And that's why they act the way they do. They're always trying to get out of their circumstance. They are self-imprisoned. We are not victims. We choose to come out of that victim stance, and that is what this great shift is all about. We are in the midst of this great shift. Lots of people are talking about it. It's very exciting. So I would like to be clear about the path of the dark worker. It is possible for dark workers to evolve, and they are evolving from the third dimension through the fourth into the fifth dimension. And their path is on the path of service to self. That's how dark workers survive, is they love themselves in that fourth dimensional heart chakra. They love themselves in service to self. So they cannot graduate beyond the fifth dimension as a light worker can, because the light workers open their heart in that fourth dimension of consciousness, that is the heart chakra. We open our heart in love of self, in service to others. We are empowered creators. We are creators. Get used to that. We are no longer at the effect of what Foxy Loxy and the owner of that garden that, you know, is the overlord of our beloved planet Earth. We are creators far beyond that reach. It may not seem like it, but when we come together, that's the ticket. That is the key. So notice in the story, Chicken Big and Hen Pen and Turk Lurk and all those guys, they went together and they addressed Foxy Loxy together. They were a unified energy and they were strong when they came together. I cannot emphasize this enough. So dark workers are always seeking power externally, and they're always trying to compensate for their disempowered state of being. Isn't that incredible? We don't have to compensate for anything, but we do have to get over ourselves and recognize that our ego will be a stumbling block to us. So we just need to put that in perspective. And we need to realize that our power is cultivated from internal power. And it is displayed and experienced when we claim our mastery. Claiming our mastery is how we graduate into the fifth dimension and into an altogether new experience in tangible reality. We will still be in physical bodies. It will still be tangible. And it will have a complete makeover. And then we'll look at graduating on into the sixth dimension, and we'll be able to celebrate that. No longer oriented to separation consciousness, and we will be more enlightened, of course, in that kind of unity consciousness. So the path of the dark worker is not an easy path. They want to put a cap on their evolutionary upward ascendancy here at the fifth dimension. They don't want to ascend any higher than that, because they know that they cannot ascend farther than that, and so they want to create their empire here at this fifth dimensional level. And there are these dark workers that hang around their lower, middle, higher fifth dimensionals, and they act like they're the boss of us. So they know that that's the end of the line for them. And if they allow us to transcend their lordship, then they're going to be out of business. And they're going to, you know, go into that place where it's going to take them a long, long time to be able to reincarnate here. And so it's tough duty. It really is. And so not so for us. We are in the driver's seat. It's just that we don't really believe it a lot of the time. But the difference between a dark worker and a light worker, I guess just to sum it up, is that a dark worker constitutes God disacknowledging God. Because we know that all is God. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. And so the role of a dark worker is to play out, hey, let's just play like we're God disacknowledging God. Okay, y'all do that, and then the light workers will play out God acknowledging God. So it's a pretty cool game if you choose it, and to be involved in this God acknowledging God, it's fabulous. It's just so much fun. And this is what people have written about for years and years and years. And I would just highly recommend that if you have got unresolved issues in your past, let's get that put to rest. There's a really cool quote by Neville Goddard. I guess he wrote in the 20th century. Very inspiring author. And he said this: unrevised scenes of the past is the cause of the present evil, or causes the present evil. Unrevised scenes of the past. All we need to do is open that up. If you don't feel like you can do that on your own, this is what I love doing in awakening coaching. And this is how we evolve. We can just pop up that image that you've got up on the screen of your imagination and your vibrational field. You can feel that, and we can transform that. Yes, you can absolutely not change the past, but you can change your attitude toward it. You can change your interpretation toward it. That is being a powerful light worker. So don't fall prey to the message of the dark, that you're small and that the sky is falling and that they're ultimately in charge and that you have no hope and no future and the hell will come, or that the hell they are offering is going to be heaven. Not so. Please, if you've got any questions about that, particularly in the realm of artificial intelligence and the new technology that is coming online, please have a conversation with me. And I am very accessible. All you need to do is go to fearorlove.com and send me an email, call me, whatever it takes. But let's get together on these things. There are so many things that we can do. So many things. And basically, it's just incredibly important that we keep our eyes on freedom and stay in that vibration and being that vibration. I love this quote. Well, before I go to that quote, let's see here. I want to pull this up, talking about the potential for darkness to, you know, declare themselves the victors in what is occurring here on this planet. There's no war. This isn't a war. There's no more battle. We just simply are evolving and claiming our mastery. And we cannot claim our mastery without a little bit of resistance. It would not be a bona fide ascendancy without that resistance. How do you climb up a mountain by just being on a, you know, flat plane? It's not possible. There's got to be an elevation to it. So that is what the dark workers are here for, is to help us. Can you get a new interpretation based on this? I certainly hope so, because that is my desire. So I got this email from my friend George Shiva Humphrey, and he's talking about this woman by the name of Regina Dugan. And Regina Dugan was, she worked over at DARPA, and DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Those guys are not our friends, if you know what I mean. And then she left that agency and she went over to take an executive role at Google. And then in 2016, she went over to Facebook. This woman is pretty dangerous, actually, in her views and what it is that she is crafting for the rest of us. Not trying to create fear, just giving some information, because we need to evolve quickly. So Regina Dugan is, and along with Ray Kurzweil, who is all about artificial intelligence, being superior, actually, to humanity, which I do not ascribe to. Regina is saying that we need to be silicon rather than carbon, and we need to be binary rather than trinary. This is what we're talking about, this hybridization of machine and human. Very, very dangerous. We're talking synthetic, and these are the kinds of works of the darkness that I like to warn people about. This is why I do the broadcast, so people will have at least heard of these things. So there is a, one of my favorite movies is Cloud Atlas. It was produced by the Wachowskis. And there's a quote in Cloud Atlas, and it says this: "A life spent shaping a world I want my child to inherit, not the one I fear my child will inherit. This strikes me as a life worth the living. So yes, let's shape the world that we want for ourselves and our posterity, not focus on the one that we do not prefer. We can do this as we come together. It has just been a joy talking about actually oneness. I salute the workers of the darkness because they are here helping us. And you have my respect. I cannot cooperate or align with your agenda, and I do acknowledge that you are here to help us claim our mastery. Oneness happens. It's the great letting go and letting in with allowance and balance. Please go to fearorlove.com and contact me, Leah LaChapelle, as we all trust the process. Know the process, be the process, and do the process. We're unzipping reality. Bye-bye, everyone.